People of Earth and BS3 Network, this is JJ, this is the BS3 Network, this is the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast, and we are live. We are talking Dallas Stars lineup. I'm sorry if you can hear my dog flipping out in the background. Let's talk some hockey. It's going to be me and my friend Weldon, so let's start the show.
What's up?
Hey, there's the man. I guess we got back like this time.
How are you?
Man, I am so excited for hockey. I can't even contain it.
Me too.
Man, so here's the thing. I was just thinking off of our conversation earlier. I'm a part of many hockey groups, some of which are hockey writers and whatever else. And I saw a thing where they were discussing their fantasy lineup, I guess.
Okay.
And right along with what you were saying, they had predicted the last two lines. So, I want to know who you think should be in each line, and I'll give you mine after that, I suppose.
All right. Well, let me pull up the Stars list here. So, is this new players coming in included?
Yeah, you can be whoever you want. Well, within reason, that is.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I want Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Jamie Benn.
Whoa, yes, please. That
would be a hell of a line, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would, dude.
Let's see.
Man, that would be unstoppable, actually.
Yeah.
Oof. That's like some NHL 24 level stuff. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Come on. Where's their roster? They've changed the app up now, so I can't find anything.
Well, okay. We'll shorten it up to three lines then, because we already know who's going to be line number one.
Yeah.
Hence, Pavelski Robertson.
Exactly.
So, while you're looking for the roster, do you change that up or do you leave it as is?
I think you leave it as is.
Yeah.
They've had too much chemistry, you know, for basically 2 years now. You just leave those guys alone.
Okay.
So I would say second line, at least Jamie and Wyatt together.
Yes.
And I still think you try to keep Dadonov with them.
Yeah.
Dadonov and Jamie worked really, really well together.
Yeah, true.
As far as third line, that's going to be where it gets tricky. Because Duchesne's always been a top six guy. So do you move him down to third line with somebody like Dellandrea and maybe, I mean, Foxa's got to be in there somewhere, and Foxa's one of the best face-off guys for us, hands down on the team. Him, Jamie, you know, since Glendinning's gone now, You know, those two guys are your best face-off. So do you move it where you've got maybe Foxa, Sagan, Duchesne?
Oh.
Because you still got to have a Sagan somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's an interesting line. That's really interesting, actually.
Because then, you know, because Duchesne's a right winger, but he takes some face-offs. I know he did some face-offs for Nashville. Mm-hmm. Sagan is strong on the face-off. Delandria's, he was getting better towards the end of the year when he was having to take some face-offs. And then we all know that Sagan's a good face-off guy himself.
Yeah.
So,
and then, that's a line I never even thought about, actually.
And then as far as fourth line, maybe Marchment, Steele, because Steele's a center. Marchment's left wing. Who would be a good right wing to throw in there? I mean, if Maverick Bork makes the team, you know, because I think he's going to get a good shot at coming up this year. Him and Stankoven, I think, are going to get a good shot at coming up this year.
That'd be interesting, because you could put either one of them with Wyatt or Delandria, and I think he'd be good.
So that's kind of how I would round it out. But I mean, you know, there's still some moving pieces in there, whether Bork and Stankoven make the team. You know, they might start them off. We're surely going to see them in preseason. I mean, we saw Stankoven last year in preseason, and he looked phenomenal. I don't remember if Stankoven scored any in preseason. That would be... Yeah, I don't remember, because they don't really track that. So
did he play in Traverse City? I don't remember.
No, I don't think he did. I don't think. That might be a question for your buddy down in Cedar Park, since he knows, because a lot of those guys play that tournament. Because there was a lot of the Cedar Park guys played in Travis City.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I wondered about that because, you know, Bork and Stankoven, I think, are in that age range where they should be in that tournament.
Yeah. Yeah, they could play in that tournament.
That would be kind of wild. I don't even remember who I saw. I think Delandria was in there the last time I watched, but I didn't watch last year. I mean, I think I
found one game of it when they played, I think, the Red Wings. I think it's who they were playing. And they looked pretty good, you know. So
we're knocking on the doorstep of that, too. I think it's pretty
good. Yeah, yeah, it should be. I think it's probably about 3 weeks from now. So.
Oh, wait a minute. 3 weeks till hockey?
Let's see. Travis City.
Gosh.
Look it up, see what it says.
And that's why you're the co-host, because you're smart.
Well, I'm just seeing what they say, so.
Next time I see this man face to face, I'm probably going to get something thrown at me.
Okay, this is all from 22, and this was mid-September.
Okay, so we're kind of getting close.
Yeah. Yeah, because last year it looks like it started September 19th. So right about the time training camp should start for the NHL. So
that's wild, man. You're looking at the roster, like, To me, it's crazy that I don't even know who's going to be playing in either training camp or Traverse City.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, what in the world?
Yeah, they should probably announce it here in the next few weeks. Of, you know, the Stars should announce who's going to be going to Traverse City. You know, for all we know, Stankoven could take a run at it this year again, you know.
Shoot, I'd love to see it. Then I can actually see him play.
Let's see if it says who.
Man, I'm going stir crazy too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like every little thing that's popping up, you know, and everything is clickbait right now and everything, but so it's like you got to kind of watch what you read. And
yeah, see, you won't get the clickbait stuff from me.
No, these are the big guys but they all write garbage. You know, it's like I read something today. Is Steven Stamkos' time done in Tampa? He's still got several years left on his contract. I don't think he's going anywhere, you know.
Nah, they kind of bogged themselves down with that one.
Oh, and they just signed another guy to an 8-year deal today, that Brandon Hagel. So they looped him into 8 years.
See, and that's one thing that I discussed with my buddy K-Fitz on the last show that we did together. We discussed the roster, the turnover, and whatnot. You know, are we okay? I think you and I did, too.
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay with this roster? And the more I think about it, the more excited I get, because I only see one line being set. And that's Roope Hintz, you know, Robertson, Pavelski.
Yeah.
That's exciting to me.
And really the only thing that's going to change in that line in the next few years, sadly, is going to be Pavelski, you know, because granted, he is the ageless wonder. I mean, he just keeps getting better and better, but eventually he's going to have to retire. I mean, you know, but those two kids of Robo and Roope, they're tied up for a very long time. You know, Rope's tied up for 8 years now. Robo's tied up for, I think, 3 more years in his bridge deal. And then they'll tie him up for probably 8 years. So, you know, and then it's going to be tying up Wyatt. It's going to be tying up Stankoven, you know, Bork, you know.
Oh, so those two. Oh boy, I'm so excited to see those two, Bork and Stankoven.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Like I didn't understand the hype behind Wyatt Johnston when I first heard about it, but mm-hmm. then when I saw him, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
And I've heard about this, and like, I can't resist Bork and Stankoven. Like, why are y'all so hyped?
Yeah.
I gotta know. I can't wait. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, everybody is so, you know, fixated on Connor Bedard and what he did in his final year. But if you go back and you look at what Stankoven did, his point production was not far behind Connor Bedard's, you know. Now, granted, Bedard is a couple of years, I think, younger than Stankoven. But, you know, I think both of them are going to be very special players. You know, I don't know if Bedard is going to be everything that he is hyped to be right out of the gate, because he's playing on a bad team. You know, granted, they're trying to surround him with, you know, some decent talent and some guys to protect him, you know, same way they did with, you know, McDavid.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So, because I mean, there's going to be guys that are going to gun for him, you know, and show him what the NHL is all about, you know.
As well, they should, in my opinion.
Yeah. You know, I'm of the firm believer, just because you're a star player, you're a superstar, doesn't mean you shouldn't get hit. You know,
for sure.
You know, all the crying that Crosby did when he first came into the league. You know, it's like, dude, you're playing a physical game. You know, expect to get hit, you know, but don't go cry about it. So, and I haven't seen Wyatt do it. You know, Robo didn't do it. Rope didn't do it. You know, I didn't see Jamie do it when he first came in. Sagan didn't do it, you know. So, you know, now if you get blindsided by Ryan Reeves, you know, and you're taken out for half the season, yeah, maybe then you can cry about it a little bit, you know. But
yeah, that would
if,
be just
you fine. Know, if it's a legal hit and, you know, guys are bashing you on the board, hey, you're playing NHL hockey, you know, take it or get out, one of the two.
Cool.
So,
so do you think with Bedard and Stankoven and Bork, do you think we're going to have another Wyatt Johnston Beniers situation?
There's so much already being predicted about Bedard. I mean, there's some of the hockey writers that are already putting him in the top three for the Calder, you know, trophy, you know, for rookie of the year. You know, and the kid hasn't even skated 5 minutes, you know, in the NHL. He's barely gone through the rookie camp with the Blackhawks. You know, don't put so much pressure on the kid that you're setting him up to fail if he doesn't do good.
Right.
You know, Wyatt came in here and there was some high hopes on him at, you know, at what he could be, but there wasn't so much talk of, oh my God, this guy's going to be the next, you know, whatever, you know, and they just let him get out there, play his game. And we got to actually see how good he was, you know, same way with Stankoven. I hope it's the same way with him. They don't put so much pressure on him to be this superstar, super scorer that, you know, that Dallas definitely needs, you know, and then it ruins him due to the pressure.
Yeah. It's a solid point.
You know, because everybody, you know, right now, I mean, you've got a lot of people whining and crying about Jamie and Tyler, you know, oh, they're not worth that $9.5 million contracts that they got there. They're not playing up to what they used, you know, what they used to, you know. And it's like, okay, you look back at when Neil signed those two contracts. Jamie had just won the Art Ross. Tyler had gone his first 2 or 3 years with 80 plus points per, you know, per season. They earned their money, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Neil's fault that Jamie's had, I think, 1 or 2 hip surgeries. Tyler's gotten hurt. He's had to set out almost a full year with a hip, with an ankle, with an Achilles. You know, things like that happen.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You know, so, you know, same thing could happen with Robo. Robo could get his big, he's going to get a big contract. It's going to be north of $10 million. He could be 5 years into that and he's not scoring as much anymore. He, you know, he's not the fastest skater to begin with. You know, what are people going to say then? Oh, he's not worth that money anymore. You know, you don't get paid by what you do. You get paid by what they hope you're going to do, you know, and hopefully you can keep scoring 40 goals every year, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Because, I mean, face it now, the kids make way more money than the old guys used to. You know, I don't ever recall Mike Modano putting together, you know, 100-point seasons. You know, I think he hit, what, 50 goals one time?
You know? Yeah.
And he, you know, and he's everybody's hockey god here in Dallas. You know? Yep.
That's true. So, I think Robo might be better than him.
Mo had the legs. I mean, yeah. when Mo was young and he was going, there was nobody more exciting to watch skate.
True.
You know, Robertson he's slower, but I think he's got just as good a hands, if not better, than Madonna.
It's going to be fun to watch him, you know, and see where he stacks up against Mo, because both American, Mo's the face of the franchise, you know. You got Robo just barely starting out. What did he have, 2 back-to-back 40 goals?
Yep.
That's already better than Mo.
Well, I mean, it's like I was comparing Robo and Kaprizov the other day. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, looking at their numbers. And they both basically did the same thing. They just flip-flopped years. Like, Robertson had 100 points in his second season, where Kaprizov, I think, had 101 his first season. You know, that's how he beat Robertson out for the Calder.
Yeah.
You know, where Jason had 41 goals, 38 assists in his basic rookie season, because he played 74 games that year. Where this year he played 82 games, had 46 goals, 63 assists. So he went up better in each of them, you know, and ended up with 109 points. So
that kid's trajectory is absolutely mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy. That's why I have a lot of problems with, you know, naming everybody but the first line, because you've got a handful of kids that can be that way. Like Sam Steele, I'm looking forward to, just because of everything I've showed you. You know, he can hit you out of nowhere with that awe-inspiring goal, I guess, is the right way to put it. And it's just, where is he going to be? Is he going to be with Wyatt Johnston? That would be fun.
I think they leave the top two lines together. I think DeBoer's probably going to do that. I think the only spot that he might switch around would be Dadnoff, just because Dadnoff's a little bit older, you know, and plus Sam Steele's a true center. So, you know, Jamie can play center or wing. Wyatt pretty much just plays wing. Or no, he's number two center. So, he's gonna have some decisions. He's gonna have pieces he can play with, and I think you'll see that a lot in the preseason. You know, at moving guys around. I think for at least probably the first three preseason games, the first three. I don't think we're going to see Robo or Rope or Pavs or any of those guys playing, you know.
That'd be wise, because you don't want them to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. and especially with, you know, we're playing all conference rivals, you know, in our preseason. So,
oh, are they?
Yeah. All playing St. Louis and – let's see who all they playing. Come on. God, this app is so slow. So their first game is Arizona on the 24th of September, 26th versus Minnesota. And then they play St. Louis and then Colorado, back to St. Louis. We really love St. Louis this year.
My gosh.
So.
Wow. That is. Oof.
So it's going to be real interesting at who you see in the preseason.
This team's loaded too.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be a threat no matter who's on the ice. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like this team this year is better than the one from the last season?
Depending on who actually makes the team. If the two young guns come in with Stankoven and Bork, yes. Because they're going to have way more speed. Because just watching Stankoven at the rookie camp, that dude can fly.
I like hearing that.
I mean, he has Gurionov speed. Ooh. And he's little, so he's going to be hard as hell to hit, you know.
Ooh, I like it. Okay.
And he's shifty. I mean, they were doing full speed drills, and he would get up against the wall and guys couldn't catch up to him. So,
wow.
And you know, Bork is a decent sized guy. He's not, I wouldn't say he's huge, but you know, he's a decent sized guy. I think he stands a very good chance to make the team this year. So
I couldn't name anybody that would take his place, honestly. I really couldn't tell you.
It's going to be interesting to see, you know, where, because we've got, I think, three too many forwards, and then as far as the defense, I mean, you've got a couple of guys that are new. You've got Gavin Bayreuther, which used to be here. Where does he fit in? Does he go back down to Texas and play? You know, so.
I think Bayreuther might stay here.
He's a good-sized kid, and I watched him several times last year and got to see him play with Columbus. And I mean, he did all right. He held his own. He's 6'1", 196. So, you know, he's now in his fifth year. So
that's the big reason why I think he stays here. It's because it almost feels like a, well, we brought you back, we're sorry we let you go sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it feels like, I mean, beyond, who is it? We got Lundqvist. We got who else?
You got Lundqvist. You got Harley. You got Harley, Miro. Yeah, Miro, Suter, Hakanpaa.
If you don't put Hakanpaa next to Miro, which I don't know if you would, what about Bayreuther with Miro? Like, I bet that would be a tremendous help. Go ahead.
Because he needs a more stay-at-home guy.
Yeah.
Because he needs someone to cover him getting into the play, kind of like how Lindell was with Klinger when he was here. You know.
Oh yeah, true.
So, and I didn't get to watch Bayreuther enough to, he doesn't put up a bunch of points. He only had two goals last year. 2 goals, 14 assists, so or 2 goals, 12 assists. So, you know, he doesn't put up a bunch of points. So maybe he is more of a stay-at-home defenseman. So
with the size, I bet he could be used as such, maybe.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know, I think Harley and Nils will probably go together. I think you'll still leave Hakanpaa and Lindell together. And as much as people don't like it, you know, Suter and Miro together, unless one of these other guys break out. Because, you know, everybody likes the left-right defenseman. So I'm not sure what's... Nils, I believe, is a right-handed defenseman. So I think Nils is going to come back this year and he's going to have something to prove, you know, because he only got 51 games last year, or 60 games last year.
Then he got hurt, right?
No, Harley basically came and took his spot.
Oh, that's what I get for being clueless. Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, everybody that, every time I saw him, got to see him practice, which wasn't very often, he was working hard in practice. I mean, I don't think there's any quit in the kid, but he's just, I think he's got to, you know, come out and he's got to hump it in the game. You know, I mean, practice, he was going 90 miles an hour. So, you know, maybe this will put a little fire on him that he got benched the last 20 games. So.
That's what they need. They need a little bit of fire in them.
Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting. I mean, Miro, of course, is going to be first D. It's just who they put with him.
Right.
Do they cut Suter's minutes back? You know, because Suter is getting up there in age, but the man can still skate 30 minutes a night, just like Miro. I mean, there were nights that he was putting up, you know, 2 or 3 minutes less than what Miro was, you know. So, if they could cut Miro's minutes back a little bit and maybe, you know, if Harley evolves and bring Harley's minutes up, and so we don't have to lean on Miro for 30 minutes a night, or, you know, because I think he was third amongst defensemen in time on ice last year.
Good grief.
Oh, yeah. Him, Makar, and I forgot who the other one was. It might have been Adam Fox, that they were up there pushing 30 minutes every night.
Gosh, no wonder people make mistakes, man. They might be exhausted.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you get down, you know, you figure 30 minutes a night over 82 games, and then you got another 24 to win to win the cup. It's a lot of time on the ice.
Golly. Yeah, it is.
So, you know, they got to get a little bit of relief in for Miro to help him out.
Yeah.
So if Lundqvist can step up and, you know, be a relief, Harley can step up and be a relief. I mean, we know Lindell is capable of skating 20, 25 minutes a night, you know. That's always been there with him. If he can just stop scoring on ourselves. So
I'm glad it was you that said that, not me, because I would have gone off on a tangent.
Oh, I scream at the TV many a nights when he's standing in front of the net. I'm going, please turn your skates. Please turn your skates. And they bank one off of him. So, but.
I mean, at least he's not to the point where, you know, they're trying to bank one off of him. That's good.
So.
What about Hanley, though?
Hanley's kind of the X factor, you know. That's a guy that can sit for a month, and then they can throw him in there, and he plays like he hasn't missed a beat. I'd like to see him play more. Because he's tough on the puck. You know, he's good in the corner. You know, he doesn't mind blocking shots. So, you know, they've got him listed as a fourth line defenseman, you know.
That's crazy. It really is.
Well, I mean he's never been a big scorer, you know. He had 2 assists this year, you know. Last year he had 2 goals, 4 assists. But he was also minus 13. This year he was plus 5. So, you know, and he played a lot with Harley and they look good together.
Yeah.
I like that combination. So, you know, I think he's going to be the X factor this year. So
that's intriguing to me because those two did work together.
Yeah.
And you know, who do you take out? Do you take out Suter?
I don't think you can, as much as everybody would love to, and put him in the press box for the next 2 years. I don't think you can take that experience off the ice without it hurting you even more.
Right. Who would you take out? Like, it's, they got to do something about it though.
I think probably Bayreuther would probably be the odd man out as far as who might go down to Texas. But I mean, I'm pretty sure he would have to clear waivers, you know?
Oh man.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting to, you know, see what happens.
And this probably wouldn't have been the case if you didn't have Jim Neal at GM either.
No. I mean, Neal has done a phenomenal job at stacking this team up. I mean, he got bashed on for years. You know, oh, he didn't want to make a trade at the trade deadline, you know, because he liked where this team was, you know, his famous line.
Mm-hmm.
And now you look at us, you know. So
this man's listened to the show before. He knows I've been kind of confused about that statement too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can't just go make a trade to make a trade.
No, it has to be the right one.
It's got to be the right one. It's got to be for the right fit. You know, it's got to be someone, you know, if you're trading for a big name or something, it's got to be someone that you can keep. You know, because look at the trades we made this year. You know, we kept one out of the two that we made.
Yep.
You know, would it have been nice to be able to keep both of them? Yeah. But it just didn't fit. You know, and I'm glad that he didn't go make some huge trade and give up a bunch of draft picks or, you know, trade off some of these highly touted, you know, guys we have down in Austin for, you know, a guy that might not re-sign.
Right. That would be the worst thing, because, like, you could trade the farm, mm-hmm. have a rental, and then the dude's just like, he's like, see ya, you know? No. Yeah.
Or you just don't have the money to pay him.
Right.
You know? I mean, there was all the talk around before the trade deadline. Of course, everybody knew that Alex DeBrincat was going somewhere, whether it be at the trade deadline or at the end of the season. Turns out it was at the end of the season. Supposedly, Dallas was in the mix for that. I saw that one in several different, articles. But the guy's wanting $8 million. Dallas doesn't have $8 million to spend, so you automatically know you're either getting him and you're trading away a couple of guys, you know, like a Radek Fox, you know, of course, Suter can't go anywhere because he's under, you know, no trade clause, you know, or you're trading off guys from, you know, from Texas to make room to bring in that big money. So I think that's where Neal is just, he's way smarter than people give him a lot of credit for here in Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody wants a trade just to make a trade, you know. And I've said it for years, and I'll say it on diehards when people are talking about it. And they're like, oh, I hear rumored that so-and-so is coming. And it's like, until Neal announces it, it's all BS. Because he doesn't talk to the press.
No, he's smart. Yeah.
You know,
don't talk to them. They'll take it and run with it, man. No. Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just like Duchesne. Who saw that coming?
I didn't.
Who saw Tyler Seguin coming when they traded, you know, what was it, 3 or 4 people for him? No one saw those trades coming, you know, just out of the blue. Hey, here's our new guy. You know, 6.5 years later, he's still here.
That worked out. I think the rest of the guys involved in that trade, they're not even in the league, if I remember.
Riley Smith is the only one. And I think now he's in Pittsburgh because he was with Vegas.
Oh, that's right.
But
we saw him in the playoffs too.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of sore about that one.
Yeah, I was sad to see him go because I really liked him. You know, when he first came in, he was a good draft pick. You know, he looked good when he came up and played for Dallas and everything. So, but
yeah, and you know, that's where I would side with Nil too, because like when it comes to the wild trades that people want to have, and I've seen them too, you know, I wouldn't trade 5 or 6 guys for a guy like Kane or Taves.
Yeah.
Like, no. Because number one, you know what you got down in your own system. You don't know what Kane or Taves is going to give you.
Yeah.
You know, that's too big of a dice to roll. And
well, and also is how does a guy like that coming in affect the chemistry that you've already got?
Right.
You know, look at the New York Rangers this year. They went out and they brought Tarasenko and Kane in at the deadline. Yeah. How did that help them? didn't help them a bit. I think that team would have been better off going into the playoffs as they were before Kane and Tarasenko came in. You know, they were already pretty deadly. So, you know, and then you bring two superstars in that are on the back half of their career, you know, and how to, you know, and just that messes up all your lines. And I think that's what would mess up Dallas if they went and made a big trade or even the talk of, you know, Kane possibly coming to Dallas, you know, because there was that talk for a while. And he still hasn't said where he's going. Yeah, you know?
I don't think they need him. I don't.
No.
Like, Dallas is fine. We got a good mix of players that, you know, everybody's talking about, and nobody for sure is certain who's going to be up and who's going to be down. It's yeah, we're fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've seen articles that said when Ben and Sagan are done, you know, maybe they should build from within. And I totally agree. Like, you got Stankoven and Bork and God knows who else waiting in the wings.
Yeah.
You know, it's time to let the big money people go. It really is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. When Jamie and Tyler finally decide they're going to hang it up, you know, I think they'll get through. I think both of them will get through their big contracts. Now, whether they retire right after these contracts or, you know, because, I mean, both of them will be, let's see, what is James? Let's see how old they are right now. So Tyler's 31. So that'll be pushing him. I think we have him for 4 or 5 more years. And Jamie's around the same. Jamie, I think we have for 2 more years. So, you know, you're looking at Tyler being 36-ish. You know, he will probably retire, I would think. Especially now that he's married. So
he said a couple of times that he wanted to retire at start.
Yeah.
I mean,
and Jamie's 34. So you're looking at both of them being around 36 when their contracts are up. So, they could easily retire and live a very comfortable life with the money that they've made from Dallas. You know,
that's actually, go ahead.
I think I said it before where both of them are going to make close to $100 million over their, you know, career here.
And I'll say they well earned it. I think Jamie being a star and remaining a star till he finishes would be the smartest thing for Neil to do.
Oh, yeah. You know,
if he tries to leave at some point at the end, you know, I say you let him stay here. Because he's done a lot for this team, too, as much as I hate to say it.
Yeah. Yeah, Jamie has two more years, so he will be an unrestricted free agent 25-26. Tyler will be a unrestricted at 27-28.
Oh, we got Tyler a little bit longer, huh?
Yeah, we got Tyler four more years. So, you know, say Jamie's 36 when his contract's up. Does he go and start, you know, do they give him a one-year deal, you know? Kind of like what, you know, kind of like what Pavs is doing.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
You know, because when Pavs came in, he, you know, his first year, he was making $7.5 million, and a lot of people grumbled about that. Oh, is he worth it? You know, he'd already lost his captainship in San Jose, you know. So do you give Jamie 1 or 2 years at, you know, $4 million, $5 million, something like that, and keep him until he decides he wants to retire? He retires as, I think, well, he's already the longest reigning captain for the Stars. So, you know, and then that puts Roope halfway through his contract. That puts Robo.
That's wild.
At 1 year away from his new contract, which they'll probably sign him, you know, in 2 years to his big contract. And then do you go ahead and name a new captain? Name one of the young guns your new captain. And let Jamie just, you know, play till he wants to leave, you know, and not have the pressure of, you know, oh, he's not captain material. He won't talk to people and, you know,
right,
everything.
Right. So, yeah, I would say you let him stay. I would give him, who was the guy that we used to give 1 year deals to? I can't remember. Was it, it wasn't Perry, not Perry. It was a shark before. Was he a duck? Oh, what's his name? It's going to drive me crazy. Everybody was sad to see him go too. I say you give him that treatment right there.
I mean, Jamie has earned his stay until I want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, you know, has he had the best 8 years out of this? Maybe not, but last year, he looked like a totally different player.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think this year, will he score that much? I don't know if he will. But I think he's going to be not more of a force to be reckoned with, because, I mean, his physical play has backed down quite a bit from what it used to be. But I think he's going to be more the net front guy like he was starting to do towards the end of this year's season.
So, that wouldn't bother me. And he was getting good at it.
Like, yeah.
Do your thing, man.
Yep.
Plus a guy with like a Wyatt Johnston on that line with him.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that was like a big brother, little brother thing to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is he doing to Johnston that we don't know about, man? Something good has got to come out of that.
Well, I think a lot of that, as far as Wyatt kind of changing his play style, I think that is Pavs.
You think it's Joe?
I think that one's Joe. I mean, he was living with Joe. Yeah, so, true. You know, I think Joe is showing him how to be a true professional, you know, in this sport. And I honestly think more guys need to have that mentorship when they first come into the league.
Yeah.
You know, not just throw them, a big contract and go, okay, you're going to go live on your own, you know. Because most of these guys, if they played, you know, up in Ontario or something, like, they were living with billet families. You know, mm-hmm. they weren't living on their own, you know, or, you know, they were living with someone or with another teammate, but an older teammate. You know, I knew guys down in Corpus when I was with the Rays, they would have the young guys living with the older guys. So
that's smart.
So you don't necessarily get the wild child out there, and, you know, you get someone that can kind of keep them in tune. And, you know, because when you're 21 years old, you think you can do anything. You know, you can go lay out all night at the bar, but, you know, be up at practice at 8 o'clock in the morning, and, you know, that sometimes don't work. So,
yeah, but I agree. I think you need the big brother type, you know,
yeah.
I think that's what
Joe did this year with Wyatt, you know, because there were many times that I'd go up to practice and I'd catch them coming in, and it was three quarters of the season before Wyatt bought his own vehicle.
Oh, really?
He was riding everywhere with Pavelski. He would show up to practice with Pavelski. If he was staying afterwards, Joe would leave and go home. Joe's one of the first guys, you know, he's the first guy on the ice, and he's one of the first to leave in the, you know, when practice is over. He's very quick to shower, get dressed, and head out.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, Wyatt wasn't with him. He was, you know, he was riding with someone else. And and, you know, he's staying and, you know, doing more conditioning or whatever. And I think Joe had a lot to do with that and how Wyatt did this year. And, you know, I would be all up for, you know, whoever comes up, whether it be Bork or Stankoven. Hey, y'all need to go live with Joe for a year and, you know, let's see if we can get the magic out of you that, you know, that we got out of Wyatt and everything.
My gosh, how amazing would that be?
You know. Because Joe is strictly a family man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the few times that we've actually seen him out in public, you know, he's always got his son with him. Or his wife is with him and, you know, his son and everything. So, you know, so he's very much a good influence, you know.
Hanging around him sounds like it would mature you pretty quick.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I think that's kind of how Joe was brought into it. I think he went and lived, you know, with someone from the Sharks, you know, an older player. And, you know, kind of taught him the ropes and everything. And I think that's good for the players, you know.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I wish they would do it more. Like, I see a potential, like, looking at hints or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see him doing that to Bork. And I don't know why it is, but I feel like he would just be the kind of guy that would, if he was in a position, help out where he could.
Yeah.
And, like, I think if you have the point of my rambling is, I think if you had more people willing to do that, this team would be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because you would have chemistry on and off the ice.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and I'm sure you've got to have that fine line of, you know, guys need to be by themselves at times, you know, not always with their players, you know, or with their, you know, partners and everything on the ice.
Yeah.
You know, because most of these guys do have girlfriends, soon to be a lot of them with wives, you mm-hmm. know, still waiting for Robertson's, you know, thing to pop up that he's engaged, you know, because it seems like a lot of them have gotten engaged this summer, So,
yeah.
Yeah. Marchment's now engaged. Let's see who else. I'm trying to think who else it was that got engaged this summer. Maybe by just Marchment so far. But, you know.
By the way, Marchment is a keeper.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Marchment is a keeper.
I'll give him this year. Got to see what he does this year. I know last year was a rough year for him, so we'll see what he can do.
Oh, I wasn't even talking about you. I was just talking about in general. Like, I see a lot of, oh, Marchment this, oh, whoever, Sutter that, Suter, sorry.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's individual things. Like,
yeah.
It tweaks here and there is what helps that team. I'm telling you. Like, it's the roster's loaded. They're okay.
Yeah. I think they're going to be, if not, I think they're probably going to be better than what they were last year. They just need to get a hot start this year. You know? Mm.
We're talking like division lead for half the season again.
Yeah. Because Colorado is going to come in this year not as injured as what they were last year. Colorado's still going to be tough.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's picking them again. Oh, Colorado's going to win the cup, you know. And I think Dallas is going to give them a run for their money this year. You know, I think it's going to be, you know, top three, Dallas, Colorado, maybe Minnesota. You know, Minnesota lost some pieces this year too. So I think Nashville is going to be better. St. Louis, I still think they're going to be mid-pack. Winnipeg, that's up in the air. I don't know what's going on with Winnipeg. I don't even know if Bones is still there. You know, there was a lot of people that were very unhappy with him last year. So,
yeah, I know that pretty well because I have a friend that's a Jets fan.
Yeah. I mean, because there was a lot of people, they didn't like him coming out and calling out players in the interview. Personally, I don't like that either, unless it was an outrageous mistake, you know, but that can also backfire. So,
I mean, yeah, there's definitely better ways you can hold your players accountable, but
yeah,
you know, that they might need to be held accountable. Like, I don't know what went on in that locker room to make him want to do that.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember him ever doing that here.
No, he was pretty cool about his players. That was Jim Leitz that liked to come out and call the players out in the media. I don't like coaches calling players out in the media.
No.
You know, some people say, oh, that's, you know, that's what they signed up for. No, not really. Because, you know, I'm sure that, you know, these people that are saying this, they wouldn't like to be called out at work in front of God and everybody when they screw up.
True. Take them aside.
You know.
Yeah.
So a question for you.
All right. What you got?
So top line, Robo, Rope, Pavs. You know your wingers are the scorers.
Mm-hmm.
Who scores the most between Robo and Rope?
Oh, don't hit me with that. Oh.
An over under of 75 points or better.
Oh, I'll say, I don't know how the betting stuff works. So I guess I'll say over.
You think both of them hit over 75 points?
I mean, in a way, yes, because they seem like they feed off of each other. You know, I saw on numerous occasions where if Robo wasn't scoring, Hintz was. And, you know, when Hintz wasn't scoring, Robo was. So it's very possible that, you know, they have another season like they did this last season in my eyes. I don't know. Maybe.
Let's see. We're just gonna write this down, and we'll check on it throughout the season.
Oh shoot, he's gonna put me on the spot on this show. Oh no. I mean, so okay. Go ahead.
So I think Robo's gonna have another 100-point season. Let's see, 100-plus points. I think his goal total this year will be north of 50. I think he'll get 50 goals this year.
Really?
Yep.
Well,
I mean, look how close he was last year.
Yeah, good point. It's almost like it's building up. It's about to just explode on him.
Yeah. I mean, he just had those, you know, a few games that he got snake bitten in, you know. And, you know, he could have very easily had, I mean, he had 46 goals last year. Previous year, he had 41. I say he gets 52 this year.
I can see that because it's slowly building up. I can easily see that. Yeah, you're right. I agree.
Let's see. And Rope. So he went 37 goals, 38 assists, 75 points. I think Rope is going to get, I don't think he's going to break 9. I think he'll break 90 points.
Definitely
I'm betting he'll get 40 goals this year.
Definitely fair, because you have power play, all that stuff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. that's all I can say.
So what would you say that Pabst would get?
I don't know.
Because Pabst's production went down this year. He didn't, I mean, he scored 28 and 49. So he still had 77 points.
Okay, well, if I'm, since I'm close to his age, I'm thinking work smarter, not harder. You got two young guns on either side of you. I'm feeding them. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I could see his assists going up a little bit further again this year. Because you don't have to do very much. You're not the guy in the spotlight.
Or you're doing like what he did last year, and he's standing in the middle of the ice tipping shots in.
Oh, yeah.
He's Mr. Tip-In. And I don't understand when Bones had him, he did not have him in front of the net tipping like he always did against us when he played in San Jose.
That's just a bad judgment call because, yeah, he is. I'd forgotten about that. I'm sorry. Thank you for bringing that up. You know, he's very good at tipping in and, you know, making sure things go the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to shoot it at the net constantly. He just has to make sure the right place at the right time.
Yeah. Because, let's see, looking back at his career, his best year for goals was his rookie year with 41 goals. Every year since then, he had 37, 38, 14, 15, and 38 goals in 18. The rest of the time, he stayed mid-20s, mid-high to 20s. 28 this year, 27 last year, 25 his first year or second year, 14 his first year. So he's very much stayed consistent. So what would you say? 25 plus goals?
I'll say 25 even.
25 even?
Yeah. I was going to say 27, honestly. I don't know why I said that, but I was just like, do this, 27, that's it. But no, he doesn't have to. Like,
No,
work smarter, not harder. You got two kids on either side of you. Give it to them.
And I think his, I'm like you, I think his assist will go up this year. He had 49 last year. So I say he's 55, 56 maybe for his assist.
Oh, are you in my head? Because I was about to say the same thing. What in the world? I mean, if he's good at letting, if he's good at tipping it in while sitting on the net, you need to let him do it. That's all I can tell you. Like, again, so, we're smarter, not harder.
Yep. So we'll keep that for seeing what he can do for, you know, for the top line. I think everybody else, other than maybe Stenko, you know, if Stankoven and Bork make it, I think they all stay about the same as what they did. You know, because everybody, almost everybody produced last year. You know, I don't think Jamie's going to have quite the season he had last year. I say he stays around 70 points. He had 78 last year. I think he stays in that range. I think Tyler gets back up into that range.
That's fair.
Because Tyler dropped off quite a bit last year.
Wasn't he getting over an injury, though?
He was coming off the injury. I mean, he still had 50 points. I think Tyler gets back up into the 70s this year. Because he had 21 goals, 29 assists.
That's pretty dang good.
Yeah. You know, you get him playing with, you know, Duchesne, maybe Delandria, you know, free up some speed on the corners, you know.
Yeesh. You know,
that line could be very dangerous if, you know, if they looked at putting those guys together.
Oh, yeah, it could. And, like, here's the thing for me. Like, Duchesne ending up in Dallas, this team was already loaded, you know. Yeah. Letting Glendening and Domi go, like, you knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then Duchesne dropped in our lap?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know, and this is the hints of the buyouts. Duchesne's playing for us, but he's making $10 million this year. not from us. He's only making $3 million with us, but he's making $7 million off of the buyout from Nashville.
Ooh. You know,
Nashville still has to pay him. That's what everybody doesn't get when they scream, oh, buy him out. You still got to pay that guy, you know. Minnesota this year, they are strapped for cash because
too many buyouts.
They did those two big buyouts with Parisi and Suter.
Yep.
You know? So, you know, Suter's making about $11 million or some crazy number like that from, you know, Minnesota and Dallas.
The majority of it came from Minnesota, though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's... not sure what he's making from his buyout, but I mean, he's only making 4 point something from Dallas. So,
I mean, that's money well spent because he's not that bad.
No, he's getting older. I mean, when his contract is up, he's going to be 40, you know?
Oof.
Yeah. Let's see. Try to see where it says what his. So from us, he's only making 3.65.
That's not bad.
That's not bad.
No.
You know.
That's a bargain. That's a steal.
You know, everybody's griping that, you know, at how much, you know, he's costing us and everything. It's like he's only making, you know, not even $3.5 million off our cap. So.
Yeesh. It helps to read and research, trust me.
Yeah. And it...
I went into a venture blind and I didn't really research what I was trying to to look at and to write about. And like, I got told I didn't know hockey. So trust me, research.
Yep. So it looks like what he's making from Minnesota, if I'm reading this right, 5.7 and change.
Ooh. So. How long has Minnesota got left to pay that? Is that
When the buyout was done, it was 4 years. Basically, until he's done with Dallas.
Oh, my.
So, you know, he comes off our books, goes off their books, you know, and he'll retire then. You know, he'll be 40 years old. I mean, he's already, you know, he's already slow, but, you know, he can still outskate me. So, you know. So I can't say he's too slow, but, you know.
That's it. We need you to go out there and suit up for him.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it is. I need you to play defense.
I can't skate backwards, so.
Okay, goalie.
Goalie, I would try goalie, you know. I used to catch, you know, when I played baseball sometimes, so.
Oh, my. I threw a curve just to see what would stick, and wow. Okay.
I'm not as flexible as Otter is. I can't do the splits, you know, so. That kind of stuff still amazes me that these guys are that big, that tall, and they can still do the splits, you know.
What kind of damage is done, man?
Yeah, that's how they tear those groins.
You know? Well, one reason, one way.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's what it basically ended, you know, Bishop's career, you know, the groin and the knees, you know, so.
Jeez.
But.
That's terrible.
So have you seen any of the, going back to the hockey predictions of the guys that they think are going to win the Calder and the Vezina and the, you know, all the other trophies. Have you seen any of the ones that have Ottinger winning the Vezina?
No, I stay away from that because who was the dude in Seattle that everybody was all high on? It wasn't Beniers, it was another guy. They said that he was supposed to be big and bad, and I don't think he touched the ice, but maybe once for him?
Oh, really?
I can't remember the dude's name. It's going to bother me. But yeah, that's the reason why, because, you know, it feels like they just throw stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
And, you know, it doesn't matter who the player is. It's just like, where'd you come up with that?
Yeah.
And so, like, I can't. I mean, do I think Ottinger would win the Vezina? Honestly, no. Could he be up there in the running? Sure.
Who... Prediction on who do you think will be the top three this year? If Dallas has a good year and they go back to, say, the conference finals, who would you think would be up there for the Vezina?
I'd say the guy that was voted the best goalie in the league this year. I can't remember his name to save my life. Oh, New York, wasn't it?
Let's see. Igor? See? Shesterkin?
I think he was up there in the running. We'll put him up there. Sure, why not? We'll go... I think Hellebuck might be up there.
See, I didn't think Hellebuck deserved to be up there this year.
Really? Why not?
Otter had better numbers than him.
Okay, fair.
He had... Hellebuck, I think, had... two more wins, but his goals against and save percentage were almost, well, they were almost identical to Ottinger. The guy that I didn't think deserved to be in it was the kid from the New York Islanders, Sorokin.
That's who I was thinking of right there.
Sorokin had no business being in the Vezina conversation.
Hmm.
He was 10th overall in goaltenders, 10th or 12th last year. When it was all said and done, I think Otter was like 5th. Let's see, because they still have all the stats up. So Ottinger was 3rd in wins, technically 2nd, but Linus Allmark is who won it this year from Boston.
Allmark, that's the one.
So
I thought it was the New York guy.
Alexandra Georgiev from Colorado and Allmark both had 40 wins. That's shootouts it. Or shutouts. Ottinger had 5. Shirokin was the only, that's the only thing that he led. He led with 6. So Otter had 5. Goals against. Otter was 2.37. So we're Allmark and Swayman took that one. You know, they took the Jennings Trophy. And then save percentage, he was 0.919. That's the only thing that Hellebuck beat him out on.
Wow.
So how does Hellebuck get voted into the top three when, you know, he didn't match Otter at anything else? You know, they had the same amount of wins, you know. So
would the defense playing in front of him play a factor in any of that, though?
Oh, yeah. If, you know, if your defense can take the pressure off, then you don't have to work as hard. You know, I mean, look at Boston's defense this year. They were phenomenal, you know. I mean, for half the season, and even now, he's Allmark still finished with less than 2 goals against for all season. You know, he had 98, almost 94% save percentage, but he only had 2 shutouts.
You know? Wow.
So, you know, I think this year that Otter will get nominated, but Dallas is going to have a really, really good season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of like the year that, you know, that Bishop got nominated. You know, he had a couple of games that he fell off on, and, you know, his predecessor in Tampa, you know, Vasilevsky, that's who got it, you know. I still think Vasilevsky's one of the best goalies in the league, but I think he's going to start taking a downward turn because they're playing him so much.
Yeah, see, and that's one thing that concerns me about the Stars and Ottinger, because, you know, he was a little bit in the similar position last year.
Yeah.
With Wedgwood going down.
Yeah.
I believe.
I think this year, if everybody comes back healthy, you know, I think Wedgwood's going to come back healthy. I think Matt Murray's going to come back healthy. Whoever the new goalie is that's down there in Texas, because I think they signed one of the big kids that was at rookie camp. I think it was Thompson. And he's another big kid. He's 6'5", 6'6". He's a big old beast. You know.
Love it.
So, you know, if they can stay healthy, you know, I think if they can split Ottinger's time and, you know, Wedgwood can step up and, you know, be what he should be, because he's a good goalie. You know, he doesn't have the size Ottinger does, but, you know, he's a solid goalie. I'd still like to see, you know, if this is his last year, you know, start getting Murray up here a little more, or, you know, Thompson when all that's said and done, and get those guys a little bit of time and conditioning in. Because really this year should have been, well, last year should have been the year that Ottinger started. because that would have been the finish up of Bishop's contract. And that's what they had always planned, was when Bishop was exiting out, Ottinger was starting, you know. So, because that was supposed to be the tandem, was Bishop and Ottinger.
That would have been wild.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And, you know, and now you look back, hindsight, now you've got Bishop in with the Stars, in doing coaching, and you know he's going to be watching what Jeff Reese is doing with him, and, you know, and giving little coaching tips of his own, you know, to help Ottinger out. So I look for Ottinger's puck handling to be better this year.
God, I hope so. And I hope the defense helps him out.
Because last year he would scare the crap out of me when he would start handling the puck. And I told him that the day that I got to meet him and traded him a blanket for one of his sticks, I told him, I was like, dude, I said, when you first started and you were handling the puck, I said, you would scare the absolute crap out of me. And he just laughed. He thought it was funny. So, he's such a nice kid, and he's so humble, you know, but yeah, and there's no other player that I would probably tell that to. I would, you know, I'd never tell Jamie or Tyler, you know, oh, you scare the crap out of me when you do this, you know. So
yeah, they'd give you a look.
Because yeah, they'd never speak to me again, or they would ignore me every time they saw me. And but Jake just said he was working on it and he was going to get better. So, you know,
I mean, we can hold him to it then.
Yeah, I think he'll do better this year with that part. And
he needs a lot more help, though. He really does.
Yeah,
I mean,
well, he's got to know when to go get it and when to just leave it alone. Let the D-men go back and get it. Because there were times that he would take off for it, and somebody else would be half a step closer, you know. And I just don't want to see him, you know, get one of these crazy, you know, guys that just want to hit somebody, run him, and then we're, you know, because if he would have gotten hurt, we'd be sunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
That's just it. Like, who are you going to go to if that well runs dry? Like, all you got's Jake.
Yep.
So. I mean, the thing about, I know we're running out of time here, but to close it out, like, the thing I'm looking forward to as far as position battles would be the backup goalie. Like, I want to see Matt Murray push for Scott Wedgwood's job.
Yeah.
I really do. That would excite me.
I think if he sits down in Texas and he has a really, really good breakout year, I think you see him up here. I don't know if he'll get as much time this year, but I think you see him up here next year as the backup.
I mean, you could have, at the very least, you know, what was it? During the pandemic year, they sent somebody up and sent somebody down once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you had the taxi squad.
Yeah. You know, you could at least give Murray that treatment, you know, just give him some time anyway, because look at what they did to Jake. If I remember correctly, one of his first games was in the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah.
And like, he showed me, wow, he's ready. So,
yeah,
you know, just,
yeah, it's just, it's the timing's got to be right. And the other thing is you got to have someone hurt, you know? So, because, I mean, Lord knows we're right up against the cap. So, and you can't send Wedgwood down, you know, just to get, you know, another player up here. So.
What a mess.
Yeah, it's a fun problem to have, but, you know.
That's Jim Nill's job, not mine. I'm just here to talk about it.
Yeah, that's him. And his other guy, his salary cap guy. So
his salary cap guy. He's got to manage money. Wow.
Yeah. And that's all that one guy does. Can't think of his name now. But
right. We don't need to be name dropping.
they make the contracts and, you know, pay these guys what they're worth. And, you know, hopefully it turns out and, you know.
I mean, okay, to steal a line from Jim Nill, I like where this team is at.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's crazy wild. And I was going to name who I think should be in the lineup. All four lines, but I really don't know beyond the first line. You know, yeah. You could put...
Well, it's where guys are going to fall, you know. Because, you know, could you move Jamie back to, you know, Jamie and Dadonov back into line three? And, you know, so it's just... It's hard to say where guys are going to end up.
It really is. Like, and that's what's fun to me. You know, when I was in college, I did papers on that very thing, like the Dallas Stars and personnel decisions, this, that, and the other, because I was fascinated by it. And I still am. Beyond the first line, man, you got a whole crap ton of talent.
Oh, yeah.
So have you
know,
fun.
And even say if, you know, God forbid something happens to, you know, Pavs again this year, who do you slide into that spot? You know, do you have another center that's talented enough? You know, I mean, Tyler did really well playing between, you know, Roppe and Robo this year, you know, in that 7 or 8 games that he was, you know, that Joe went out for, you know, he looked really, really good. His points came back, you know. So, you know, who's to say who goes into what spots? You know, that's the job I wouldn't want to have. I wouldn't want to have DeBoer's job at figuring out, you know, who does what, who goes where, you know. So,
can you imagine filling out that lineup card, man? Just hiding your face in whatever paper you could see. Oof.
Yeah. Well, I mean, once the regular season starts, then you kind of know who's playing. But you know, it's after preseason. It's like who stays, who makes, you know, who does make the team, you know.
And here's a what if for you. You know, Wyatt Johnston had the 9-game tryout or whatever it was, 10-game tryout before they had to figure out what to do with him. What if they have another one of those?
Well, they can still bring up Stankoven and Borg. You know, those are the two top potentials to make the team. They can still bring those guys in for 9 games, and I think that includes preseason. So you got upwards of 5 preseason games and then 3 to 4 regular season. So
that's wild.
I'm not sure quite how it works. If preseason counts against those 9 games, that would be a question for somebody that knows more about the rules than I do.
Okay. Noted.
See, maybe if your buddy down in Austin knows that one.
I doubt it. I'm just going to
because say. Wyatt was here for the start of the season. I want to say maybe it doesn't count against the 9 games.
Well, no, because it was the first whatever 9 games. Or a stretch of 9 games in the first part of the season.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, where he was just on the edge.
Yeah. So, yeah, and I think him and Stankoven were both, you know, Stankoven I know played all his preseason games. And then he was decided that he was going back because the Memorial Cup was going to be held in Kamloops, which is where he played. So they pretty much already knew he was going back. So,
man, this is going to be some season.
It's going to be a tough decision on who stays in Dallas and who goes down to Austin, you know, or even who stays in Austin and goes to back up to Idaho.
My gosh. Because you've
still got Strange, you know, that he was bouncing back and forth between the Steel Hounds and Texas this year. You know, and he looked really, really good in training camp. So, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have. So
this team would not be this loaded from top to bottom, even down to the ECHL, without Jim Nill.
Yeah.
No, it would not.
It's very, very true.
That's crazy. And it makes me wonder what happened to let Nill walk. I mean, hey, thank you, but wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what happened in Detroit. If they were just going to go in a different direction, because he was, I don't think he was the GM there. I think he was assistant to the GM. And then of course, you know, what is it? Iserman is there now, is the GM.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just all depends, you know, what the Red Wings were doing, and it was a gift to us. So
sure was, man.
I mean, I still think that when Neil decides to leave, that Janko takes over, which is the guy that does the contracts. Mm-hmm. I think he takes Neil's spot.
I'm going to wager a guess and say that he's still not going to be as good as Neil. That's just an opinion right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's being tutored. So
that's true.
You know, he's basically his right-hand man. So
yeah, solid point.
And if he can make the contracts and the players are comfortable with him, and, you know, and that's what I've noticed about Neil. He seems to be comfortable around anyone that he talks to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's just such a likable guy. He's very friendly with the fans. I mean, I've seen him, stopped him and talked to him for a minute or two at practice, and, you know, just the nicest man you'd ever want to meet. You know, now he's not going to give you any trade secrets, you know,
nah. But,
you know, be nice, but, you know, you know, it's like, hey, you should really go look at this guy, you know? And he's like, who says we haven't, you know? So
right. True.
So, but yeah, he's just an incredibly nice guy, and not many of the other Stars top brass can say that. I think Brad Andrews, the newest guy that's up there, he's really nice. He'll stop and talk to people. Jim Lights would never stop and talk to anybody.
So, yeah, but, well, that's fine.
So, but, okay. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a very, very interesting year. So I think the Stars will contend for the Central Division title. I mean, granted, we were 1 point off of it this last year, you know.
1 point. Ouch.
You know, Chicago, or not Chicago, Colorado got us on their last game.
That's rough. And they got to figure out how to get past Vegas. I'm going to say that too.
Well, I mean, we beat Vegas all four times during the regular season. We just couldn't do it in the playoffs. You know, we did it twice in the playoffs. So,
that
biggest hurts. thing that I, the biggest thing I want to see them get through, cut the overtime losses in half.
Oh my gosh. Yes, please.
Cut them in half.
Yes, please.
You know, if we take six more of those points, we have the Central and we have the Western Conference.
Yeah.
Because Vegas was only a couple of points ahead of us. So
that was a hard pill to swallow. Like it felt like in overtime they were just going, they weren't playing to win. They were just playing not to lose.
Yeah.
And I've said that numerous times.
So, you know, if they can cut their overtime losses in half or get to more shootouts, you know.
And lose then.
You know. Well, at least you still get a point no matter what, but you know, cut it in half where you don't have, you know, 13 losses in, you know, in overtime. That's what hurt us. You know, I mean, those were a lot of points left on the table.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Tons. All right. You
know, so but all right, so we got a few predictions that I've written down. They're right here by my computer desk, and we'll see how they match up for the year.
Man, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm gonna have you on the show a whole lot more, I hope.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. My week is just that last 2 weeks have just been crazy, so.
Oh, shoot. Same here, man. I had a four-year-old climb up on me a couple weeks ago on July 30th.
Oh, and fun. I had a
cold for the last week or two since then.
Yeah.
I'm getting over it.
Jeremy little creatures, aren't they?
Yeah. It's been almost a month. I just looked at the calendar. Wow.
Jeez. So.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, I don't want to take up any more of your time. It's been a great show. I appreciate you coming on.
Thank you. Not a problem.
BS3 Network, I want to thank y'all for the nomination for I call it Top Dog of the New Guys, even though that's not what it is. Thank y'all for the time on the network. And once again, Weldon, thank you for your time.
Not a problem. Always enjoy coming on and talking with you.
Yeah, man.
Well, as soon as we find out about Travis City and all that, I'll let you know.
All right, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Talk to you later. And that's going to do it, BS3 Network. Thank you again. Bye.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.